Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast. I'm Ollie Lum and as always I'm joined by my co-host Matt Seddon. This week we spoke to 800 metre runner Ellie Baker. Ellie's got a PB of 159.5 and she finished 4th at the British Champs in June. She's based down in Brighton with her coach John Big and we recorded this pod prior to her final race of the season at the Luzerne Diamond League. Ellie ended up taking the win in a time of 2 flat. It was her 10th of 2021 and what a record that is.
Another female 800 metre guest, as Lum said, Ellie Baker. This one's slightly different. She's young, she's hungry, she's up and coming. She's going to be one to watch for sure. We dive straight in and we talk about, you know, her progress basically. Her progress is something to be absolutely marveled at. You know, 4 seconds or 3 seconds over 800 meters improvement in 1 year is no joke. Although Keely Hodgkinson did something like 6 in a year. So, but anyway, this is all about the Baker, all about Ellie Baker. And we talk a lot about, you know, COVID and when COVID hit, and she was one of the athletes who, she was not one of these ones who, you know, got their head down and was all or nothing and really focused during COVID. She went the other way, and she basically took the time to mentally reset, rest, enjoy life. And, you know, Ellie openly admits she probably enjoyed life a little bit too much during that COVID time and had a disappointing season for it last year. That's her being critical. Her words, you know, had a disappointing season last year. And, you know, we delve into what she did and what she changed to make this year a better season. And it's fascinating, some of the stuff she did, including getting her brother on board, who has, you know, no knowledge or background in athletics. He's become her accountability coach. She'll tell you much more about that. So that's really fascinating. She talks about herself with John Big, what it's like training with pretty much, you know, 90% of the time she's training with guys, what that's like, how that pushes her. She talks about training camps, you know, what it's been like to be unsponsored this year. And of course, we can't not mention him, life with Carl Langford as well. So bit of gossip there. Enjoy the podcast, guys. Ellie's a great runner. She's great on social media, so be sure to follow her Instagram. And, you know, you're going to have to watch for this one over the next few years because there's numerous competitions coming up and you bet your life she's going to be representing GB on the biggest stage very shortly. So take care. Get out for your Sunday run. Summer's almost over. Can you believe it? Winter's upon us. You want to start up in them long runs, baby, because cross country's coming. Right, that's enough of me talking. Enjoy the podcast. And as always, we'll catch you next week.
Right, Ellie, first of all, welcome to the podcast and just congrats on an incredible season.
Oh, thank you for having me on, guys. Now I'm really excited to speak with you about a few things.
Yeah, for sure. You got any more races lined up or are we done now?
I've got one more, and then that's on the 26th. It's like part of Luzerne Diamond League, but it's not a Diamond League event. It's like a pre-event, but I think it's still being paced at like 158. So I'm hoping to get one last good go at it. And you can get like the world champs times and stuff now for next year. So try and use the fitness I've got this year and get it over and done with. That's the aim. But we'll see how it goes.
Okay. So are the standards released?
Yeah. Well, I don't actually know. I never know. But my coach tells me that they are. But I'm not sure exactly what it is. But I feel like I'm just going to aim for 159.5 because that was the Olympic standard this year. And I feel like that's going to cover me for everything, so that's the aim, just to go below that.
It should.
A second again.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's not quicker than that. That would be ridiculous.
I know, exactly. Might be now looking at all the times the girls have run, but we'll see.
You'll be right. When's Luzerne? It's like what is it? A couple of weeks?
It's Thursday. It's the 26th of this month. So oh, wow. Yeah, so it's only a few days away now.
Yeah,
so
I'm getting mixed up because there's pre, must be Luzerne and Paris as well, isn't there?
Yeah, so much on at the moment.
Zurich, yeah. Oh, wow. Well, that's exciting.
No, yeah, I'm really excited. I raced Zurich a few years ago and I really like it in Switzerland. So I'm hoping it's a good omen and hopefully it will go well. But I've got my holiday booked for the 27th. So I'm literally race, then have a break, have a nice week.
Yes. Where are you off to? Anywhere nice?
Portugal with the family, so that'd be nice.
Splendid. Wow. Yeah. In the context of the season, though, say you did get the time, hypothetically, how much does that kind of help an athlete going in and only having to worry about the champs, say, next year?
I think like it helps massively because you're not having to chase a time week in, week out. Like that was quite stressful, I think, for me this year. Like just knowing that I won't be going to the Olympics anyway, like no matter where I come at trials, because I haven't got the time. So trying to squeeze more races in than planned, and you know, you can't find good quality races all the time, especially like say like Diamond League events, you've got to be running so much faster than say 2 minutes what I was or 159.5. So I couldn't get like the really good fast races in before the trial, so it was kind of hard to find races where I could run fast, and I was just basically time trialing myself. And I think it just adds that little bit of extra stress. But in a way, like my coach was telling me going into like the trials, like when I hadn't obviously got the time, he was like, everyone that has the time has got so much pressure on their head now to make the team, you've got no pressure, so you're just gonna go out there and just run the race that you can, like run the best race that you can possibly run. And I think it was a bit of a weird situation, like the first lap just went slow, and I kind of like had to just go with, I either take it out really fast and just get sat on, I know like with people like Laura Muir and everyone like that, it's not the easiest way, or I go to like try and race for a good position. So it was a bit of a hard one going into the trials. I didn't really know how to run it, but I come fourth and then I missed the time, so I didn't go. So it was just sort of one of them bittersweet sort of seasons. But yeah, it's more pressure when you haven't got the time, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was it. Anyone who didn't have the time either had the choice to try and get the time at trials,
or
to just enjoy it and get that race experience in.
Yeah.
I guess on the day, did you just kind of decide, yeah, I'll go with the racing option, and if the time comes, it comes.
It was weird because like the first 200, we all got out so fast. So I was thinking, oh, this is brilliant. Like I could get dragged around for a fast time here and try and, you know, finish top three. And then I don't know what happened between like 200, after 200 to the 300 mark. I think Gemma hit the front, but then just slowed it right down. But it didn't feel like it slowed that much. Like for me, like I was like, oh, it feels all right. And then we got to the bell and I was like, oh no, like it's let it slip far too much. And then it was sort of too late at the bell, so then I was like, right, doubt you're gonna get the time off this sort of first lap, but now you've just got to adapt and just try and, you know, like medal and do the best you can do. Because yeah, I think it's just a hard situation. Like other years you've had like a week after the champion after British champs to try and get the time, whereas this year it was literally like being selected the next day. So I just knew after the first lap it was over. Yeah, it was kind of annoying, but
That would have been a weird place to be mentally. I think you say this year, obviously they had the cutoff. They may do that next year with Worlds being so early as well, potentially.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because previously, like for World Championships, people have been given like another chance, you know, if you've medaled at the championships, you can try and get the time the next week. But I think it's going to be a little bit more tricky with all the different championships next year. So I just want to go into it with the time and have like a little bit less stress.
Do you consider your world ranking at all?
No, because it just doesn't matter in the UK. Like I think for middle distance running, like I was like saying to my dad, because he gets so excited if I go up and down. He's like, oh,
yeah, it's good to watch, isn't it?
Yeah. I was like, Dad, it really doesn't matter because, like, if you haven't run the time, there's going to be like five other girls that have. So, you know, you're not going to be going. So, yeah. And the way that the UK do it, it's like you come top three, you run the time, you go most of the time.
Yes.
But, you know, other countries like just literally go off the ranking. So, it is definitely not so much for us, I think, than other European countries.
Yeah, I think you're bang on there. That's a fair comment.
Yeah, but I wish it went off the rankings and they just like picked the first.
Well, you know, like, you know, when we're talking about qualifying times, you know, they're there to, you know, pick people off rankings and utilize the ranking system. And but I mean, they did in some events, to be fair, at the Olympics, but I think you're in an event where there's so many people who've got the time, it's just it's never going to get to that point, is it?
No, exactly. Not for the 800s.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you touched upon how almost bittersweet it was this season, just with, you had really good performances, like moving on from what were you last year, like 202, is that right?
Yeah,
and like being really successful junior runner to being right up there with the senior girls this year. What has been the key to kind of the performances this year to that step up? Because that's a huge kind of step up when you're already running those sorts of times.
Yeah, I think last year I had like a really like what I would say an unsuccessful year. I think the fastest I ran was 2:03. And like, I just was really unhappy with how my season went. And I think like sometimes when you have seasons like that, it does add more fuel to the fire. And you think like, I'm not having another season like that. I'm fed up of like coming, you know, like always a bridesmaid, never the bride, like always finishing behind and like just not running the times I know that I was capable of. And I think I just like said to myself, like, you can't just keep going on like this, like, you know, being there or thereabouts. You've got to like make some changes that's going to make you right up there with all the other girls. Otherwise, like, you're going into a senior year, like, I'm not a baby anymore and I need to make some changes. And I think it was just like literally the little 1 and 2% that I was missing before is just what I've been on top of this year. And I think that's made like a massive difference just to my training, like literally just like getting on top of my sleep. Like before, I'd be going to bed at like 1 a.m. just like waking up late, then doing my run late, and then you can't like get enough time and recovery between like if you're doing 2 runs a day, things like that. And like just like nutrition and just like, I think mindset and stuff, just like, and I really worked hard this year. I got a really solid winter in, no injuries. So it just went to plan this year. But I think it was just all the little percentages. Like I have like an accountability meeting with my brother every week. So every Sunday, like we'll sit down and we'll be like, what have we done this week? What can be better for next week? And we literally review it after every week. And I think that's helped me massively this year because like, I can let things slip and not even realize. And then it's like got like 2 months down the road and I've missed little bits and bobs. Whereas like it doesn't happen anymore because I'm like on top of everything.
Wow.
That is awesome. Yeah. I mean, does your bro, I mean, most people I suppose would maybe have that with a coach or something, but it's cool that you've included in like a family member. And
yeah,
how did that come about?
It's really weird because like my brother's like not a runner, he's not like into it really like that much, but he's a like really motivated person. Like whatever he does, he'll give it 100%. And like he just like spoke to me at the end of my season last season. He was like, look, this isn't going in the direction you want it to go. What can I do to help you to like get you where you need to be? Because I don't want to look down the road and think, oh, like I could have helped her like be a little bit better. He didn't want to like let me just let it slip. And I think he just wanted to help in any way he could. And I think like because he's my older brother, like I've always looked up to him. So like any advice he gives me, I'm always like, okay, yeah, like I'll do it. But he's like very good. Like he's done so much research into running. Like he wasn't like that interested before, but like he's done so much research and like just on supplements. Like he's making sure I'm on top of every supplement, like my protein shakes after training, are you getting that in? Like he's just on top of me on like all things like that. So he's just done so much research where I'm a bit lazy and he'll be on top of it. And like I don't know, I just kind of, I look up to him and stuff. He's just helped me a lot this year, I think, just like having someone to talk to each week, like motivation wise, because he motivates me anyway. Like if I'm slacking a little bit, he'll give me like motivational content to listen to, things like that, just like to pick me up a little bit. And yeah, I think because he understands me.
Wow.
That's
so cool to hear. Like, yeah, I mean, like Max said, like it's unusual, I guess, that it comes from places outside of your coach. Like, obviously you've got a normal support system with family, but to have someone so, I guess, invested in your running, it's really good to hear.
No, it's really definitely helped me so much this year. Like my coaches are great, and like we're training wise, like we'll sit down and make a plan like going forward for our month like of training and what we've got coming up. And then like the mental side of things and all the little 1 and 2% like sleep, like I bought like this sleep ring and like we monitor my sleep now, and like he's got like a chart, my brother, every week, and we have like color coded like green, amber, red, like have I gone to bed on time? And then you can see it like, oh crap, I've had a few reds there, and like get back on it for the next week. So I think just being really aware of like, are you doing everything sort of thing? And I think that's a good thing to sort of monitor.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think anyone at that level needs someone like your brother, mate. Is he? Yeah, people should hire him. People should hire the guy.
He'd be like, oh, I need to be paid for this now.
Sounds like he's doing an absolute stellar job. But It's interesting that you said like he didn't really have like a background in athletics. And I think, I mean, Lum, you, I think you agree with this as well. It's sometimes people who aren't involved in athletics, they don't have like that athlete bias, if you like, and they just see things from a proper, simple approach.
Yeah.
And they'll maybe ask you like, oh, why are you doing that? And then sometimes it makes you think, oh yeah, why am I doing that? You know, or why aren't I doing that?
I think I overcomplicate things that don't need to be overcomplicated sometimes. And he's just like, he'll just be like, well, this is the solution. And then,
yeah.
Well, yeah, it's that simple. But no, yeah, it definitely does. It has helped me so much this year. So I am really grateful for him.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it takes an athlete as well, though, because obviously you, I mean, you're being a bit harsh on yourself. You know, you see, given it was COVID and stuff last year, you know, I'm sure most athletes would have almost just used that as an excuse and just almost been like, okay, that's where I am with not ideal preparations, maybe.
Yeah.
But sounds like you were quite hard on yourself.
I think like with COVID, not knowing if there was going to be any races was really like not good for me. Like I like run well when I've got things to motivate me and things to aim for. And when I felt like there was going to be literally no season, I was like, we've never had a lockdown before. We've never like gone through anything like this in the past. Like I was like, Boris is on the TV telling us to stay inside. Like there's no season. And I was like, no, that's it. Like, I'm just going to just have a few months of just enjoying food and things. And I literally gained so much weight over lockdown. Like I just literally like, I don't know what happened, but I just, all the food that I'd not ate for so long just because of running, like I just got it all in. Like it was ridiculous.
Yeah. I was like, a lot of people can relate to that.
Every day, like it was so bad. And then there was a season and I was like, oh no. I was like playing catch up. I was like, I've got a lot to burn off here. But yeah, no, then I like got back into like the last few races of the 2020 season and I run like 2:03, I think third at the British Champs, but there was like not really anyone in it. And then yeah, it was just not an ideal season. And I was like, I can never do that again.
Kind of learned. Yeah. I think it's almost a good thing it happened though, because one, you learned from it. Two, you want to be able to be critical at the end of the season. But it's almost like maybe more, you know, because some people went the opposite and just started training like really on top of things, didn't they?
People did one or the other,
basically. Yeah. You know, but maybe you just needed a little bit of a mental sort of reset.
Yeah, I feel like I got all the bad food in to last me a lifetime. So, and then I think it just made me look at myself like sometimes when you have a bad season, you're like, okay, what the hell is going on? Like, why is this happening? And I think it just makes you look at everything. And then I think bringing my brother in on my like next season, like if I hadn't have gone through like maybe a bad season, I wouldn't have looked at anything and wouldn't have maybe got my brother on board and things like that. So I think everything happens for a reason. And yeah, you just like sort of find your team as you go along. And yeah.
Absolutely. It's interesting. Yeah, it's just cool to see it from an athlete's point of view, how they interpret their season. Because, you know, when you look on paper, like me and Lum are sitting there going, this girl's just been steadily improving every year. And we just think, oh, COVID year's a blip. But, you know, you're really quite critical on yourself.
No, I do work hard. But like last year was just a year where I couldn't say I did everything that I could have done. So I can't, like, I've got to give myself a bit of a telling off for that.
And now you go into races knowing you've pretty much ticked every box.
Yeah. So like when I speak to like my brother, we say like, as long as I can literally stand on the start line and say that like, I have done everything to this point to get me in the best position to run the best I can in this race. Like, I think before I was standing on the line and I might have little doubts creep into my mind. Oh, maybe I should have done this. Like, oh God, I should have done that extra core work. Like all these little things that might have been in my head. Like if I could just cancel out any like negative or any doubt, then that's going to make me mentally such a stronger runner. And now I'm on the start line. And I'm like, I know I've done everything. So all I've got to do is just run the best I can run today. And that's all I can do because I've done everything I can for like this season. So I think going into a season like knowing that you're in the shape of your life, like you hit all the sessions you're meant to hit, you've been doing the little bits, the nutrition and things like that, like you can't really stand on that start line with any negative thoughts thinking like, oh, you know, have I done this, have I done that, because you're in a positive space and you know you have. So I think that's definitely changed my mindset as well.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about kind of your overall training setup then, because you're based in Brighton at Phoenix Track Club with John Big, right? When did you first move there?
I think it was like end of 2017 I moved here. So I'm like the baby of the family. So I was the first to move out, and my mum and dad were like, where's she going? Like, what's going on? But no, I just like knew from like a junior that like this is what I wanted to do, and like I want to take it further. So I think I was like in under 20s maybe when I moved down here, and I just started like living in a rental with Kyle and Elliot, and yeah, so I just moved everything down here, started training with John and Dan, built a really good like relationship with them, and I really love my training setup down here. Like, we've now, me and Carl bought a house down here, so we're kind of just sticking our roots here, and we're really, really liking it. So I think John really like knows us well, and he knows us all as individuals, and he like does our plans so individually, like it just works really well for us. So
I mean, you really have, you guys down at Brighton, I mean, we spoke to Elliot like last week or whatever, and you really have developed an elite performance climate down there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, John's literally like a mad scientist down there, because he's just like installed like all these altitude like events into the gym. So like,
wow,
it's so crazy. Like, he's like proper into all this technology, and like, oh, yeah. He's had like builders in all week, like fitting all this altitude system into his gym. So like now when we go there after sessions and do circuits in the winter, he can like ramp the altitude so high that we just die.
So, oh God. Yeah, you'll just be panting nonstop.
I know. I don't know what, I'm a bit scared to be honest. And he's like, and it's so good because if any of you get injured, you can cross train here and make it so much harder. And we're like,
Jesus, Giles is gonna love it.
Loves it. He loves it. Like, he's built like this gym like literally on his house, and he's just like proper gone for it. So we've got such an amazing setup, like literally from our door, like it's one of the best trails in the world. We just love it. It's so good. It's like completely flat, like perfect surface. We do all our like tempos there in the winter. Me and Carl do all our runs there, and like, yeah, John's like gym and stuff is just ridiculous, and we are really lucky to have like the facilities we've got down here, but he's worked really hard at it, so we're really grateful.
Yeah, I mean,
let's touch upon your kind of relationship with Carl and how that works. Obviously, living together, training together, both 800 runners. How is it kind of sharing your athletics experiences together?
It's weird. Like, I think it's always like up and down, isn't it? Like, one of us might be doing well and the other one might be doing well. So it's kind of like just supporting each other through, you know, whatever we're going through, sort of thing. But no, I think we're just used to it. We're like an old married couple now. We're just we quite enjoy it. I think it's good to have like someone else that understands though. Like, I couldn't imagine having like a partner that like didn't run as well, because like I just don't think like the average person would.
I think on that, like, you know, you're talking about doing them little things, being accountable, the sleep, the eating right.
Yeah.
You have a partner who's like, mate, I don't fancy going to bed at 9 o'clock or 10
exactly.
o'clock.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It makes exactly. it tricky.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, on the group and stuff down there, and like Carl's probably the same, like, does John require a certain like mental attitude from you guys, or is that just completely natural for you? Have you felt yourself having to change and be a bit more professional under his guidance, or were you already like that?
I think, like, I feel like if you're in the sport, you're sort of a bit like that anyway. Like, if you
I think runners are, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you've got that competitive nature and you always want to do well. Like, the boys are hilarious. Like, they just absolutely, like we're not really, I wouldn't say professional. we're professional at what we do, as in like the running side of things, but everything's just like banter with the boys. Like, they're just ripping it out of each other all the time and pushing each other, and I think it's good to have that, because they've got like that competitive edge, and like, they just know like if they don't have a good session, you're gonna get rinsed for it, so you better have a good one. So it's quite funny. I think everyone gets on really well, but it's just a lot of banter with the boys. I think it's not really too serious, to be fair.
Yeah, how is it then, because are you the only girl in your group, or is there
I basically say I'm the only girl, so I've just slowly like morphed into a guy, because I just like It's just like I have to just take all the crap from the boys because I'm just used to it now. Like, I think they just see me as a boy now. But no, I am the only girl. But we have also, like, Katie Snowden's coached by Dan Stepney. So yeah, she's down a lot of the time. And, like, that's worked quite well because she's, like, more endurance, I'm more speed. So we complement each other in certain sessions. So that's been really helpful. And she's just gone to the Olympics for 1500. So... she's doing really well. And then, but obviously she lives in London, so it's not all the time that we see each other. And then, yeah, there's another, there's an actually a young girl that's just joined our group. She's 16 and she just like run a 56 for 400 and she's like run like 209 for 8. So she's quite good. So like if I'm doing a session, she'll do like half my session, but she'll do like 200 sort of thing. So she's quite helpful as well. And then a girl called Grace that does 400, she sometimes comes down as well when she's not at uni. So we have like a few that dip in and out, but yeah, it's mostly boys.
It's quite a different dynamic, I guess, to the guys, because with them, you've probably got, I don't know, they are, when it comes to start line, they're all racing each other.
Yeah.
Whereas with yourself, like, is there a bit less pressure? Because you're not training with your competitors, I guess. Whereas with the boys, they're all racing each other all the time.
Yeah, well, that's true, actually. But I think I kind of like training with people that I race because it's kind of nice to see where you're at. But, like, obviously, I don't have to do it all the time. But if we go on a training camp, like, I got to train with Laura and Gemma in Dubai, and I think that helped me so much because I'm like, oh, I'm quite close to them on a session. Like, that's good because, like, I think, like, with Laura and Gemma, you know that they're just amazing. So, like, if you can get close to them in sessions, it's always going to give you a bit of confidence. So I think that definitely gave me confidence going into the indoor season, knowing I was in good shape because I trained with them and I was training well and I was keeping up with them in a lot of the sessions. So that gave me a lot of confidence. So I think it works both ways, really. Like, sometimes when you're training with each other and you're like up with each other, you can kind of feel like, all right, I'm in really good shape. But obviously if your competitors are beating you by like miles in a session, then that's gonna not feel good either. So I think it just depends.
It's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think in your position, there's not many that, like, you could train with, engage off, you know, like you say, it's like Laura and Gemma and a few other 800 meter girls, and you could engage your fitness off. Anyone else, you know, you're better than, or you've beaten before.
I think what is quite good as well, because, like, my sons, my
Ellie, you got to tell us something.
I've got a son, guys. My coach's son, Luca. Do you know Luca Big?
Yeah, of course.
So he trains with us, and like this year, he's just getting into sort of tempo. Like, he didn't really like the longer stuff. He's so speedy, but the longer stuff, he's not, like, he didn't enjoy it so much. So he was just getting into it. So he was like my perfect tempo partner for like this year's winter, and he like helped push me on so much on that side of things because the endurance stuff, like, I have to work at a bit. But he really helped me on that stuff, so it's been quite good. But he's slowly just getting away from me now. I'm like, no. need to find another tempo partner for this year. But the boys do help me out and stuff in a lot of sessions and stuff, so
are you able to push harder in sessions? Because I mean, I don't know, do you ever chase him? Like, will you ever do a similar session?
So Dan Stepney also jumps in a lot of my sessions. Like, he's our coach, but he's like proper competitive, and he won't let me beat him. So he's like, at the moment, he's started to run again so that he can help me this winter. But his Achilles always go on him, so but no, yeah, so a lot of them do help me out, like, with boys. I feel like it's kind of annoying because, you know, however hard I go, I know they can go harder. So it's just kind of like, it's not the same as when you're going against like other girls of your ability, because you're like, right, this is us, like, eyeballs out with the boys. They're like, well, I just put a little bit more of effort in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So it's helpful, but you're always like, I know you've got me on this.
Yeah. On the training stuff, what does a typical week's training look like for you? You can pick whether it's summer or winter, whatever.
Okay. So I would say, like, we do like winter and summer, we practically do around the same thing, but we might just do like a little bit more mileage and a little bit more like top up evening runs and things in the winter. But on a Monday, we do like speed drills in the morning. So that's just literally like maybe going down to the track. It's like a 2 mile warm up, and then we'll do like really specific like speed drills, running through cones, like speed gates, things like that. Very like just keeping like our form and keeping on top of like the speed side of our training the whole way through the year. Because I think what a lot of people do is they get all the mileage in the winter and then they completely have a shock to their system when they go back to speed, where we sort of keep that in the whole year through. And then we do that. And then afterwards, sorry, my dog's like barking at me.
That was like a hiss. I was like, what?
He's like sneezing.
Oh, yeah, when the dogs do the sneeze, yeah.
I'm hoping it'll be quiet. But yeah, no, we'll do that. And then we basically have like, it's called like LTP1 or something like that. I don't even know what it means, but basically I just call it a faster run. And then at the end of the session, we'll do in the winter 3 miles, like faster at the end of the session, maybe like a 6 minute miling for me. And then, and we'll do that for 3 miles, but in the summer we only do it for 2 miles. So that's sort of like what we do on a Monday. And then in the winter we might do another shakeout in the evening, but in the summer we don't. And then Tuesday's just track session, gym in the afternoon. And then winter we might do like a little bike in the evening or not. In the summer we definitely don't. And then Wednesday's a run. And then in the winter, Wednesday will be like a faster run. So we'll go like towards probably like 6 minute miling for that run, and then we'll go slower again on my other run in the week. So like my steady run on the Sunday long run will be like 8 to 10 miles, and then I'll go a bit slower on that one, so I won't go so fast. And then on a Thursday we do like tempo and then gym, and then on a Friday is rest, and then Saturday back on the track and gym. But yeah, this depends. So like sometimes we add in like another run in the evenings, like in the winter, but at the moment I'm not really double daying.
Oh yeah, thanks. That was a detailed training plan. There you go.
Yeah. No, we just keep like the gym in quite a lot, like and plyometric sessions sometimes. So I'm just gonna let the dog out the room because he's really distracted. I don't know what he's doing, but he's growling at the door.
Bless him. I mean, if anyone wants to see the dog that Ellie's talking about, I think he's all over your Insta, isn't he?
Or he is. He's not my child. Yeah.
He's a lovely little dog.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, look, yeah, there's your training. Let's talk about women's engineering running. We touched upon it briefly, like how stacked it is right now.
Yeah.
You mentioned training with like Riki and Muir in Dubai a little bit as well. It's interesting to know what your relationship with these girls is like. You know, are you actually mates, or are you friendly, or do you have a little bit of like love hate there?
So Gemma's literally like one of my best friends. Like that is literally just like, I just get on so well with her. Like I feel like we're like the same person sometimes. We like have the same opinion of everyone. We have the same like outlook on a lot of things. So no, I really, really like, really get on with Gemma. She's meant to be coming around actually like for her break at the end of the season. She's coming down.
Oh, awesome.
So I am very close with her, so that's real. But I really get on with the girls, to be fair. Like Keely I shared with in Poland at Euros. And I really got on well with her so much. Like she's so chilled. I think that's literally why she's so good, because she's so chilled. I think she just doesn't really like overthink anything. She just relaxed and she goes into every race just like, oh, another race.
Yeah.
But yeah, like everyone was saying, like, because Elliot was at the Olympics with her and he was like, she's literally just so chilled out, like playing pool at 10 at night before a race, like just so chilled.
Sounds like a Usain Bolt.
Yeah, I know. But no, she's a really nice girl. And yeah, I feel like we all get on, to be honest. Like it's not really... Obviously, you want to win, but there's no like animosity or anything.
Yeah, that's quite cool. Because does it make it easier then, sort of competing against them? And I guess it just makes it easier in your training and everything, and your outlook on the sport, because you're maybe not so concerned if these guys go and run well. You know, you're just happy for them, and you just focus solely on yourself then.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think like I never get like caught up on other people's performances, because I can only like do what I'm doing and do as well as I can do. And you know, I feel like this year has been a massive step forward for me. Like I've done a 3 second PB in the 8 and like I don't know how many seconds in the 15, but quite a lot. And then so I can't complain with the way my season's gone, because if I'd have said to myself last year I was going to break 2 minutes and you know, run 4:06:15, I would have took it with both hands, but it's just because everyone has like leveled up. So it just, it's like putting it into perspective. But I just think you just got to keep going and like it will come. Like, I feel like it's kind of exciting when girls are running that fast, because I'm like, okay, well, that's possible. Like 1:55 is now possible. Like, I think it's accepting it in your brain, because in my brain before, I would have seen a 1:55 and was like, I can never run that. But when I know girls that I've ran against, like competed with, like have been up there with doing it, then I think, well, anything's possible. I think it's good.
That's huge to have, for sure. let's talk about our 15 then. Like, were you expecting such a good time? Because obviously mainly known as an 800 runner.
Yeah, it was weird because I've never really given the 15 like a good go. Like, I might do one at the end of the season and not really know how to attack it or like just do it. So I think like I've been about like 4:15 pace for a few years now, and I just never have really attacked it. Like, I did one indoors, but that was like more tactical when I ran 4:13. And then yeah, I think it was a bit of a shock, but I know that my training's been going quite well, like on my 15 work. So I did know I was in good shape for it. Mm-hmm. But it's just like I had the perfect race with Adele. Like, she like literally like led it. So I was just like sat on her, and it was just like perfectly strung out for like a 4:06. So it was a really good race. But I feel like, yeah, I don't enjoy the 15 as much as the 8. Like, I feel like I was hurting with, like, when it got to like 500 to go, I was like, oh my god, like I'm starting to hurt here. And like, I was a little bit worried. I was like, I've still got another lap in a bit, like this is not good. But I think with the 15, like, you're really uncomfortable, but you can still work through it and you can grit it out. So it's a complete different thing to the 8. Like, when you blow in an 8, it's game over. Mm-hmm. Like, but no, I have enjoyed it, to be fair. I'm just don't want my coach to give me any more mileage.
I got to admit, it's a cracking time for us. The Olympic standard was 4:04, wasn't it? Was it 4:04?
Yeah, I think it was 4:04, yeah.
Yeah, you're really not far off that. And I mean, you may even be able to, what's the European standard? 4:60 is the European standard next year, supposedly, if it's official. But so that's the level you're operating at on the 15.
Yeah, I didn't know that actually about the, I know I've got the Commonwealth standard, but I didn't know the European standard was.
Well, that's, it's not the British athletics ones, but it's like the European ones. So yeah, so. Okay. You know, so it's incredible. You could do 8 at Worlds, 15 in Euros.
Oh, you never know. But it's an exciting year next year with all them different championships.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's a lot to look forward to and be on top of. You know, you've got to make sure you have a good winter for all of that next year.
There is. I mean, on racing in general, like, does John put more impetus on times or winning? Because, you know, you've won a load of races this year. Like you were saying, you were time trialing quite a lot as well. But
yeah,
you know, you murked that BMC the other day, tactically.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you're out there winning races a lot, you know, which is really good to see. So I just wondered if he, you know, puts more weight on winning.
I think it definitely depends on the race and like what you're aiming for in the season. So like obviously when I hadn't got the time, it was very much time. Like, yeah, it was time orientated and like we was definitely more aiming for the time, whereas like the other night, like I felt like I had I've got a good race coming up, you know, to time trial sort of thing on the 26th, and like it would be good to just get some tactical sort of experience. And like I know Izzy Boffy's got a really fast finish, and Reveille's just got back from the Olympics. I know she was strong, and like I just thought it'd be good to sit in and just see what like sort of my kick would be like and things like that. So I think just like testing different things on races that you can is kind of a good thing. And I thought, well, I can like go after the pacemaker, but then I'm going to be the pacemaker when they drop out. So I just thought I'd just do it a bit different, because I feel like I don't really enjoy time trialing the races, but I didn't really have a choice at the start of the year, so it's nice to just have fun with it, I think. So it just depends where you're at.
Yeah, pick and choose your moments, I guess.
Yeah.
Elliot mentioned when we spoke to him that you kind of do a lot of, I guess, that race simulation stuff in training. Is that similar for your training as well?
Yeah, so like a lot of the sessions like leading into championships and stuff might be like change of pace, so like just getting ready for a kick sort of thing. So like you could be running at your like normal 800 pace, but you've got to like ramp it up again in a rep and like So say if someone was to make a move that you're gonna follow that move. And I think John's very like careful with us in races. Like he doesn't like us running too wide because he's like, do you know how many more meters you're running? So he's very like, keep to the rail if you can, like be smart in the moves that you do make, like try and run the shortest route sort of thing. And he doesn't like us to surge too much in a race, because then I think you just lose so much energy by like the last 100, you've just got nothing to give. So it's just all about making it smooth and covering moves so that you can do it smoothly. But yeah, no, there is a lot of change and pace stuff in our sessions going into like the season, so I think it's just to prepare us for like any moves and to cover it smoothly. But yeah,
I think that's key.
Yeah,
especially in the 800 for sure.
Yeah, I think before I have like a few times like gone like hell for leather after, and then I'm just like run out of gas at the end. So I think it's like just about running smart a lot of racing. So he's kind of like trying to get us to run smart lately.
Look, Ellie, you've got a huge social media following, like what, 20,000 people. What's your opinion on social? Like, do you think it gives you added pressure? Do you sometimes feel that extra pressure to perform or to post, or, you know, or do you kind of relish it?
I kind of enjoy it, but like, I think, I don't know, it's a weird one with social media. Like, I don't think it gives me any more pressure, but I just think it's always the good bits of people's lives. Like, it's not real. Like, yeah. No one's gonna like post themselves like having a bad day, are they? So I think you just gotta be taking it for what it is. Like, it's all always gonna be like the good parts and the highlights of people's life, and like, it's a nice, that in that way it's like nice positive community, but it's not like real life. Like, no one has a good day every day. But I do quite enjoy social media.
Do you see it as part of your job though? You know, being an athlete, you know, I think more athletes should consider social media as a part of what they do. If they want, you know, if they want to earn like a, you know, a wage and an income from
it. Yeah. No, 100%.
At
the end of the day, like this year, I've done this whole year I've had no sponsorship. So I got dropped by Nike in January. So I've like just living off my savings basically this whole year, and just trying to get the most out of, you know, what I can. And like, I have to be quite selective on the camps and how much camps are costing me at the moment and things like that. But I think I definitely look at it as like another avenue that I could make money, because with like not having any sponsorship, like it's hard to fund like being an athlete. Yeah. And I think if you've got other like other sources of income, it just takes the pressure off you a little bit. So I think it's definitely something good like to have and like to work on, because I think it's always another option. Like, you look at these influencers, they're like paid so much money for just like one post and things like that. I like things to be like authentic though. Like, I don't like to just post about any old crap. But no, I just think it is definitely good to build a following. And I think also people like are interested to see what you're doing and things like that. So it's good to give people an outlook, and it's also a good avenue to go down, like if you wanted to try and support your training.
100%. Yeah, sure. I think that's bang on. And we're seeing so many runners are getting more and more popular through doing social media. Things like YouTube and stuff are becoming massive in the running world.
See, I'm so bad at editing videos. There's so much, like, I've got like loads of footage of like sessions and stuff that I'd like to put up, but I'm literally useless. Like, I tried to edit a video the other day and I was like, I genuinely
It's hard, you know? That's people's jobs, isn't it, to edit?
I know. I literally was like, and as well, like, I know it sounds stupid because like you've got a lot of time around your runs and stuff, but I'm like, I'm so tired. Like, my brain is not working, and like, I just can't edit. I'm so bad at editing videos, but I'm trying to learn, like, because I feel like it would be good. Like, a lot of people like to see the sessions and like to see what goes on behind closed doors. So it would be quite cool to do, but kind of just need the Ingebrigtsen show, someone to just like,
you need national TV to come and film your life, basically.
Yeah, exactly, do it for me.
Lum, do you want to do the quick fire questions, mate?
Yeah, we got some quick fires for you. They don't have to be really quick answers.
Okay, today, I'm not the sharpest with the quick.
Okay, we'll go with it. But basically, we just wanted to know, they're like your favorite type running thing. So have you got a favorite place to train that's away from home?
Oh, favorite place to train. South Africa. I say.
There you go. Favorite meet you ever raced at?
Oh, okay. Oh, good. I say maybe like my under 20 in Grosseto because it's like my first taste of like.
Nice. Favorite workout?
Oh, favorite workout. It's my least favorite, but my favorite because it gets you fit. So 5 300s or 3 minutes.
I think I was going to say Giles said that as well.
He said it was his worst or hardest.
Or his hardest or something.
It's the hardest one. It's the hardest one, but you feel good after.
Yeah. favorite shoes to train in and then I guess racing. You could have two pairs, I guess.
Oh, so for like my faster tempo runs, you know the Nike, the tempo shoes, Nike.
The Tempo Next Percents, is that?
Yes, them one. Yeah. Yeah, no, they're my faves.
Nice. Do you have like a favorite pre-race meal or snack that you always have?
Well, I usually have like just like a lunch, just like a pasta, chicken pasta sort of thing before a race. And then if I'm like racing in the evening, I might have like a little sandwich, like a chicken sandwich. But it's just really standard. It's not really exciting.
Then the exciting one, the favorite post-race meal.
Well, post-race meal. I feel like you can't go wrong with the Mackies. Like if you had a really good race and you just want to just be naughty, don't you? Yeah.
That's a standard Watford Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Straight Watford out Mackies. Into Mackies.
What do you get? What do you get at Mackies, Ellie?
You have to just go for the Big Mac, I feel. Like,
oh,
you can't,
really? Classic.
Yeah. Well, 20 chicken nuggets, also a good one. Oh, that's so nice.
I don't know how well that would go down on your accountability chart. 20 chicken nuggets.
No, we just don't tell him about that one. No, I'm joking. I actually haven't been to Mackie's after a race this season, which is kind of sad. But
yeah, one more race. So
yeah, exactly. After
last
that
race, you did. Yeah, but I think that's the difference between almost like if you like elites and this just slight level below. You know, like someone like me and Lum. After every race, you know, we're like, oh, let's have a beer, let's have a good feed. But I think elites know that, you know, you can't do that after the race, otherwise you're doing it 20, 30 times a year.
Yeah. No, this year's been pretty boring. To be fair, Nando's is quite a good one after a race for me at the moment. That's a little treat. But no, I've been quite good this year. But after Zurich, I'm gonna have like a week where I just eat what I want.
Oh, enough about food. It is lunchtime.
I've already had mine.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's 2 o'clock, Matt. What are you playing at?
Oh, mate, you know, my habits are all over the place. But look, you know, just before we finish up, yeah, we want to talk. We touched upon it a little bit, but I guess will you be targeting that 156, 157 next year and sort of that Worlds team? And what do you think that's going to take?
I feel like that's definitely going to be the aim going into this year. I feel like I've had a really consistent like winter this year and really consistent races, and this is the most consistent like my races have ever been. Like sometimes I'll do a 202 and then finish with a 207, you know, and every race has been like around the 2 minute mark this year. So I just feel like getting another consistent like winter, even better than last winter, and just going into the outdoor season with that confidence, I feel like that's going to be the aim. I want to be running like at least I want to run 157 for sure. I feel like 156 is a possibility, but it has to go well. And I'm just going to put no limitations on myself. I feel like I've seen other people do it. I know it's doable. And I feel like if I'm going to make the world champs team, like if you think about it, I like every girl that made that Olympic team this year for GB, they were in that Olympic final. So I feel like if I'm going to make that team, I'm going to be in the best possible place and best possible shape of my life anyway. And I feel like a medal is definitely something that if I make the team that is possible to achieve. So that is going to be the aim for next year, medal at the World Champs.
Watch out, world. Yeah. And I guess you've had such a good season this year that you can almost, you know, compare and look back on and to what you did, you know, this winter to next winter.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've got like my training diary. Everything's like written in for like the last 3 years. So I'll be going back, seeing what I was doing this time last year. But I just want to like try and better every session and just try and like make small progresses here and there. And I just feel like anything's possible. So hopefully.
Yeah, sure. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on. It's actually been a brilliant podcast. And yeah, I've really enjoyed that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys.
No problem. Best of luck next week. And I think, yeah, if you're listening, guys, I think Ellie will have raced already. So we'll let you know how you got on. No pressure.
Fingers crossed.
Great. Cheers.
Thanks for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. As always, if you did, please leave us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service, as it really helps us out. I know I promised you guys Charlie Grice for this week's episode, but we're having some technical difficulties with that, so apologies. We should have Charlie on for next week's pod, so fingers crossed, and make sure you look forward to that one. Cheers.